I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor tonight, Stargate Pioneer. My friends, everybody calls me SP, and your other reporters for this episode 155 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Are you looking for applause? Clapping is a little difficult these days.
Give the man a hand. And Michelle.
The thing that makes women strong is that we have the guts to be vulnerable. We have the ability to feel the depth of our emotion, and we know that we will walk through it to the other side.
Very nice. And our guest reporters for this week, Wing.
Hey, kid. You see, I come back, I use the smallest quote. I've learned to shut up.
And Steven.
So what should we call this brave new world you whipped up for us? I was thinking Flashpoint.
Steven, Flashpoint? Really?
Yeah.
Damn it, Steven.
That's not Steven. That's the Flash.
I don't think that's the Flash. That's not the Flash. The Flash doesn't have a hood.
Special effects budgets are tough in the off season. They didn't have the special effects budget to put him here in full costume. So that's what we got. Beggars can't be choosers, guys.
There's the red with the Flash logo and the red chin. So that's all that matters. That's the most important part of the Flash costume is the chin area.
Is that cardboard?
Make sure you tell everyone that you are, in fact, Barry Allen, because your secret identity doesn't mean a damn thing in that show.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you look like a poor man Canadian Flash. I'm sorry.
Right. You realize that the Flash is actually filmed in Canada.
It's filmed near him. That's why it's even worse.
It's Barry Allen. Oh, my God.
Whoa. I just blew your mind, didn't I?
Barry Allen never had the beard. Come on.
Steven is Barry. Barry is Steven. Oh my gosh. We're going to move on here. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, June 1st, 2017, live on Geeks.live.
Tonight we'll be discussing and dissecting the recent seasons of Supergirl, The Flash, and Arrow, as well as some news, interviews, articles, and announcements that may have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, Black Lightning, Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman, Batman, The Animated Series, and Smallville.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com. We can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys! Before we get into the discussion of these shows throughout the 2016-2017 season, let's take a look at the ratings of the show throughout the three seasons. And Michelle, why don't you take Supergirl first?
Sure. Supergirl premiered, had 3.06 million viewers. The finale dropped and had 2.12. The lowest rated episode was Alex, which was episode 19. It had aired May 17th. It had a 1.75. What's interesting about Supergirl is not only did it have a network switch, it was also up against Voice and Dancing with the Stars, which are live shows, heavy on, you know, immediate feedback with voting and such. But on the good side, the DVR views will actually increase the viewership from 1 to 1.4 million. So, you know, there were some weeks when literally like over 4 million people were watching, you know, Supergirl total. So that's not bad.
No, it's not, even considering that it was roughly, what, 6-7 million at the end of the season last year on CBS. So going from network to cable, that's not such a bad drop. Chris, what did we have over on The Flash?
So let's talk about season 3 of The Flash. The premiere came in with a 3.17 rating. We wrapped the season with the finale pulling in a 3.04, so not a huge drop from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. The lowest rated episode, Abracadabra, which was episode 18, it aired on May 28th, pulled in a 2.39 rating, and I can kind of understand that one because it sat on my DVR for like 3 weeks before I watched it.
It sucked.
It did, and it was right before they took their next 3 week break. So a lot of people saved it until later so they could get through. Interesting thing on The Flash, DVR views accounted for about 1.6 million to 2 million views each week. So another show that is heavily DVR watched, and I really do wonder how much is watched on the CW app too.
I was just going to say that. I wonder if the DVR views include the CW app or not, because if it doesn't, that only makes the total bigger. Over on Arrow for season 5, the premiere brought in a whopping 1.89 million viewers. And I say whopping because that's under 2, and that's not doing good, because as my sensei Wing taught me, CW shows need to remain at a 2 to be financially viable.
Yeah, around 2 million.
Yeah. The finale came in with a whopping 1.72, so it dropped like 0.2 during the entire season. The lowest episode of the season was Underneath, which was episode 20 near the end of the season, aired on May the 3rd with 1.36, and it wasn't the only 1.36 view. There was also another 1.36 episode as well, so yeah, not so good for Arrow this year. Really scratching my head about the early renewal for that.
Who renewed that show?
We are scratching our heads over why this show was renewed. So,
wow.
Yeah, because the ratings dropped so much. Although the season was great and we're glad that it was renewed.
Yeah.
Over on the DVR front, it averaged about 50 to 60% of the views came from DVR, and it was still amongst all four DC CW shows in last place as far as the rating goes, which when you consider Legends of Tomorrow is saying something. So there you go. Now, Michelle, you get to be in the driver's seat. What do you want to discuss first? You want to go flashy, or do you want to go with the arrow pointy guy, or do you want to go with the chick flick?
Well, I suggest we go in the order that it aired during the week. So Mondays was Supergirl, Tuesdays was Flash, Wednesdays was Arrow. So I figured, why don't we tackle them that way?
Wait, are you trying to tell me that these shows aren't just about to air? I thought they were all summer TV shows.
Yeah, me too. Well, I thought we were like looking forward to the next season.
They are summer TV shows on Netflix, because if they're not already there, they'll be there shortly. But Michelle, why don't you take the seat in Supergirl? What drove you to it this year?
Well, first off, I love season 1, and I was really pleased with how it started strong. Unfortunately, with the move to Vancouver, we lost Calista Flockhart. So there really wasn't Kat. And I think they did well giving Kara a way to try to find balance without Kat, because like she was a big mentor. So you have a lot of, you know, Kara trying to find out, you know, what does it mean to be Supergirl? Can she be Supergirl and Kara? What's that balance? You know, she's a reporter, then she got fired, but still trying to figure it out, doing the whole romance thing. And I think she had a really good season. I really like what they did with the character.
Kara is proof that you can quit your job, start an internet blog or podcast, and actually still be successful. It is awesome, isn't it, Steven?
Yeah, it's my life motto now after seeing that episode.
Why are you guys working still then?
Not working. I'm fighting crime, but I just need an excuse.
How much crime is there where you live? It's Canada, for crying out loud.
Today at Tim Hortons, instead of a double-double, someone got a single-single.
Oh, the crime.
Actually, we had someone sleeping in the entrance where I work, so the police showed up.
You have police?
Yes, that was an exciting day.
I thought you only had superheroes up there.
No, they're all in vacation, I think, for your Memorial Day. I'm sorry.
I see.
Bummer.
Chris, what are your initial impressions of Kat not being there for Supergirl this year?
So they said Calista Flockhart would be there for a few episodes. I didn't think that meant the premiere and the finale. I thought we might get her some sprinkled in there throughout the rest of the season. And it's kind of an abrupt shock with the show based off how much of her was in season one to basically go from a ton to barely any. And her character was fun and kind of helped move things along and inspired confidence for Kara and things like that. So it was sorely missed at the beginning of the season, but then kind of a welcome return at the end of the season, I think.
Now, wait a minute. She was in more than just two episodes. She was in three episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the first two and then the last one or something?
The first two and the last two, so four.
So four. Oh, we just doubled her screen time. Oh, my God.
My bad. I'll eat crow.
But that's a big thing for her to leave because, honestly, that's why I stopped watching the show. Because I was watching the show for her.
You weren't watching the show for Melissa Benoist?
No. I'll be honest, the character of Supergirl is not a big draw. Go figure, I'm a white, male, North American. The other two guys are kind of more draw for me. But I really, really, really like the character of Kat. So now that you're telling me she's in the last two, I watched the first two. I'll watch the last two now. And I have a little bit of super butt on the side at the same time.
When did you stop watching the season, Wing?
After the second episode, when Superman went away. Another white cis guy. So
you are the problem.
I know.
I see. Yeah,
I'm honest about it though.
Thank you for being honest for it.
The Guardian had an indecent season. I mean, we all questioned what he was doing, but
that was dumb. They suffered from the same problem in Supergirl that they did in Flash and they did in Arrow, which is we can't have this be about the main character. We need to have the super friends too. Now everyone's got superpowers. Now everyone's part of the team, and you don't have to do that. And it didn't mesh very well having James become the Guardian in here. And that's why I loved in the finale when Cat Grant's like, James, I know it's you. I can see your eyes. I was like, thank you.
She went back to knowing that Supergirl was Supergirl. She knew that Kara was Supergirl. And that was really, when did she ever stop?
I'm going to interrupt you here because there was clues that she knew even last season. There was absolutely clues. That was what I wanted. Every time she was on screen this season, I thought there was a chance that they were going to drop that. So I was not surprised at all. But with that said, I've been keeping my mouth shut. Best thing to happen to this series was to see Ally McBeal go bye-bye. She was holding back the Kara Danvers character. That, to me, is actually in my highlights, is getting rid of her. And I liked the little bit of use that they had of her this year. I think the biggest sour grapes that I have is the way they misrepresented it at the very beginning, is that she was going to be there, but she wasn't. But I think that she was actually a detriment to the series.
Ouch. We didn't watch the same show, you and me.
She was the same routine over and over. There was no change, or her character was basically one dimensional.
Yeah, she was comic relief. That worked well.
I just found her the annoying claws on the Kara Danvers character, and I didn't like it at all. I was so happy to see her gone.
Do you have a boss that tried to control you, Stephen?
Maybe.
Okay.
I can kind of see it, but you have to understand there's not a lot of women mentoring other women on just really anywhere. So last season, seeing that relationship, and, you know, Kara did have a little influence on Kat and so forth. But, you know, I do kind of see how maybe if this season, if they would have just copied and pasted that relationship, that it would have stagnated both of their growth. So in a way, I kind of like, I mean, I miss Kat, and I wish they could have incorporated her a little bit better. But seeing Kara, like, not be the assistant anymore was good for her. I do wish that she wasn't just a reporter like her cousin. I wish they could have done something a little bit more original there. But I do see your point a little bit, Stephen.
But you see, Stephen, I think we would have seen a different relationship between Kara and Kat in season two had she been here full time, because they cut the apron strings, for lack of a better term, in season one. She kicked her out and said, no, you need to go find what it is you need to do. She didn't have her in the assistant position anymore. So there's a different professional dynamic there now.
I guess when she made her reappearance, it felt the exact same thing as season one. Like her last little bit there was, to me, no difference between her season one character. And that's why I thought that it was nice to have it gone. Because, again, I think she's a one-dimensional character.
Well, with her gone and with James Olsen not really in the CEO seat because he was out on the street beating up thugs, we actually got the addition of a great character, Snapper. He was awesome to see, and I wish we would have seen more of him.
I agree with you, SB. I actually had that written down too. I think that Snapper was nice because, you know, he wasn't part of the fold, but he was clearly looking out for Kara. Like, you could see that from the beginning. He had a vision for her, and every time she let him down, that's what it was she let him down because he had a goal for her in an end game, and it was neat. The thing that I think was a little weird with that character was what you said before, was the whole Jimmy Olsen relationship there. Any of the thing where Jimmy's trying to be the boss of the company was garbage. Like, that whole storyline, I'm glad they kind of abandoned it because it was not good. But then when there was a situation that it came in and, like, Snapper's going against Jimmy, it should have just been a matter of Jimmy going, no, do it. And it wasn't. So it kind of, that relationship was weird to me.
If I may, they were trying to replicate the white relationship that they have in the Superman comic. And I think that's why they brought this character and Jimmy was probably not listening to him. On the other hand, I didn't see these episodes, but what the hell was he doing as a president of the company and being a superhero? That's not that character. He's Superman's best pal.
Well, they had a very limited pool to draw from when Cat Grant left. And she left because the series moved filming from LA to Vancouver. And their solution to that at the time, because they didn't know really what was going to go on with the series, how long it was going to be on the air or that sort of thing, was just to take an existing character and throw him up there. And James Olsen was the logical step for that. But then they made him the Guardian, which I think was a mistake to pull the Guardian. I think the Guardian would have been better next season.
Guardian should have been Diggle and we should have moved on. That's always should have been, and it's still like, in my throat. Spartan, I think his name is? It's frustrating.
Yeah, the man with a helmet with no back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a theory about that, though. My theory on it is that they were rolling the dice on where's the Guardian going to have a better chance of existing for multiple years.
You're probably right.
But here's the thing, is they're two different worlds. So it would be super confusing, but they could have theoretically done it on both.
Well, I mean, Guardian, isn't he not a Superman character?
I don't know.
Well, kind of, and no. It's a character that sprung from Superman, but then became a bunch of different things. I mean, if you want to talk about Nightwing, it's a character from Superman that they recycled. So I don't think the origin of where that's coming is important anymore. We're talking about Arrow or Batman Light. I mean, right now we're just using the best asset that DC Comics has, and I'm okay with that.
So talking about the best assets that DC Comics has, let's talk a little bit about Alex Danvers. Now, Michelle, what did you think about how they progressed her character in this season? You and I had the chance to actually see Kyler Lee in C2E2 last spring, right before they filmed the season finale, and they talked about different things and possibilities that she would like to do with the character. Do you think that they fulfilled some of her wishes as they went through?
Well, they kept her being a badass. I mean, she got to be in a suit, big old thing, and kick butt. And what they did, they kept her a badass. They really explored her relationship with Kara because they're not just like put together. Alex has had that responsibility of protecting Kara, you know, the alien, keeping her secret. But then this beautiful coming out story when she meets Maggie and when she realizes that she's had this part of herself in there and seeing that awakening and just how beautiful this story was done. And it didn't stop any of the plot. Maggie was, you know, she was a detective. You know, she knew about the alien dive bar. In fact, she's the one that introduced the alien dive bar to the DEO. So it always came from plot with character, and it was just, Alex had a great season.
I enjoyed seeing Alex on there, although I think the link to their father, their shared father, Kara and Alex, I think that was kind of a weak thread that was pulled through. Yes, it was a long game, but I think it could have been done a little bit better. It seemed to come in fits and spurts and then forgotten about for weeks at a time. So that's one of the drawbacks. But Alex as a actual character with the DEO was pretty good. She made some stupid moves along the way, but everybody does. So it made things interesting. And in the words of another co-host that is not with us here tonight, Neil, because plot is why they did it, in my opinion.
He's right. Because plot.
I gotta say that I liked what they did with the Alex Danvers character overall, but I don't actually feel that it was eased into like it should have been. I felt like they made the decision that she was going to come out and they did it a little bit too fast. And I feel like it was a little bit of a disservice to the character. I would have liked to have seen it grow a little bit. I felt like it was almost like they're because plot, like you said, they're going to go and we're going to make this happen and then we can move on. And I would have liked to see that blossom a bit.
You want to see Blossom on the show?
Hey, family friendly.
You know, their relationship, I think, had a better growth than the whole Kara, Mon-El, we don't like each other, but then we're going to fall for each other romantic comedy trope.
That happened? Ouch!
Yeah, I will not disagree on that.
They played that? Oh my god! No!
It's the problem they had with that this show this season, is they tried to put too many plot threads together. There's too many people in place there, so they can't give adequate time to some stuff. So I would say the Kara Mon-El stuff suffered a little in comparison to what you saw with, say, Maggie and Alex, for instance, because they just couldn't balance it all.
I gotta say, though, I really like the Maggie character. She is a nice, welcome addition to the crew.
She was, and unfortunately, she has been removed from being a season regular next year. So I'm kind of cringing over spending all this time getting to know her and then in the future knowing that she's just not going to be around as much. So
isn't she a white Martian?
No, wrong person.
Oh, okay.
Maggie is the detective, the actual cop detective, police woman that is Alex's significant other, emerges as Alex's significant other as the season went on. That wasn't the only relationship that we had going on this season. We had a few others, and let's start talking about Jean's relationship and his arc during the season. Michelle, what do you got for us there?
One of the bartenders in the dive bar is Magan, and she says she's the last daughter of Mars, and he's just like over the moon because he's like, I thought I was the last and everything, but it turns out she's actually a white Martian who regrets what her people have done. And so she's trying to change and seeing him. One of the themes of this season was the whole, you know, working through hate, coming to terms with some of the things that, you know, Jean had to go through tremendous loss. And then he sort of had to face like all the anger and pain that he still has. And then he, you know, his relationship with Magan, he faced it and then eventually kind of worked through it. And together, then it was an interesting way to see that play out.
I think what was really kind of nice about this season was that he got to be Jean Jones, right? Like, he was always Jean Jones playing Henshaw last year, and this year it was nice to actually see him be himself.
And to be open about the fact that he's a Martian, he's not having to hide it anymore, and the fact that, hey, I'm a Martian. The president's put me in charge of the DEO because I'm a Martian, but he keeps wearing the Henshaw face to kind of keep everyone comfortable, I think, and to keep the special effects budget down.
Which, by the way, I gotta say, I actually really like his transformation on the show. I think it's one of the better transformations into superhero that we have in the Flareverse. I like it.
I think the special effects for Supergirl, when they have them, are awesome. I think that they have to moderate them because I know they took a significant budget cut going from last year to this year. And one of the things I pointed out at the end of the series is the whole Daxam fleet. They've been without their planet for decades now, at least, right? Because Kara went into the Phantom Zone. She came out sometime later. And then Clark Kent was all grown up and everything. So I would have to say it's at least 20 years, if not maybe 30 or something like that. That Daxam fleet looks like it just came off the showroom floor. And it was because, as somebody pointed out to me in a Twitter conversation, that they didn't have the budget to make it look all BSG and with a ragtag fugitive fleet or something like that. They were just the starstruck aliens that could just take on an entire planet on their own. So I think that speaks to the special effects and what kind of budget they really had, because there's one way to do it and there's another way to do it. Heck, this is a CW show that gets an average rating of, what, 2 to 3. So that's what kind of budget you're talking about.
Can I ask a question? Last season, wasn't the ending that there was a bunch of Kryptonian coming to Earth? And this season, the ending is there's a bunch of Kryptonian neighbors coming to Earth?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's creative writing. We should move on.
Sure. It was Daxamites this last season, and now it's something from Krypton. I don't know.
Oh, God. If I get another speedster at a villain of the Flash, I'm going to kill somebody.
They said no speedster next season. Let's wait and see whether they screw with us.
Yeah, until we see Godspeed.
I'll bet there's some bad person that comes into Arrow next year, too. Like, you can't rip it apart because they all use the same basic outline. Like, that's what it is. It's superhero shows. This is pretty much with the superhero genre. Somebody bad versus somebody good. Like, how far do we want to break this down?
Yeah, but they don't always have the same powers each year, Steven.
Here you go. I mean, if you give me a bunch of humans, I understand, because we're all humans and we can all go bad. But how many last sons of Kryptons is there out there, or last neighbors? And then how many people that have speed live in that in Central City at this point and not in Russia? Where is the Russian superhero?
That's Kovar, and we'll get to that when we talk about Arrow Wing. But in the meantime, we can't leave Supergirl before we talk about a few things. And one of the things I want to talk about is Wynn, because he moved from the newspaper as tech support to the DEO as their lead tech guy, almost their lead scientist. And he's there just taking charge from the beginning, which, okay. And then he is the Guardian's backseat driver in tech support. Okay. And then he's got this hot alien girlfriend. So Wynn kind of had a bit of a season, and I don't know, it was a bit of a stretch for me personally, but what do you think, Chris?
I was just glad they got rid of him pining for Kara.
And then pining for Superman.
Yeah. It was one of the weakest things from last season is him like, I love my best friend, but she doesn't love me. What do I do? Come on. I'm glad that's over.
Did he come out? I mean, he felt so.
No, they gave him an alien girlfriend.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, so he's kind of the Cisco of this show. Is the Deus Ex Machina when you need some techno babble thing to be done?
You know, that's a pretty fair statement.
Wing nailed it. Go ahead, close down now, Wing. You're not hitting higher than that note.
It's been a pleasure. I'll see you next year.
As we've hit that high note, let's hit another high note. Let's talk about the highlights of the season. Michelle, what do you got?
I really just enjoy the complexity of the women. You had Linda Carter come as the president, who ended up being a Durlon. The villains were women. You had Lillian Luthor, the head of Cadmus. You had Roulette. We have Lena Luthor, which sometimes, because she has that mantle of being a Luthor, and it's that whole people assume that she's evil, but she's trying not to be, and all that type of stuff. So it's just, for me, seeing women just being all these different, you know, more than just one note and everything, it was great.
Steven, what was your highlight of Supergirl for the year?
I really like the Cadmus line. I liked that. I thought it was a good storyline, and one that it was nice because it spanned over multiple episodes. I got to say, that's my highlight of this entire season.
Chris?
So I liked how they brought Superman in, but didn't make him dominate things. It felt like a good relationship between the two of them, and they weren't just like, oh, we're in trouble. Better call Superman. I thought it worked well. And I said it early on this season. I was very surprised how much I like Tyler Hoechlin, however you say it, in the role of Clark Kent Superman.
So I like the fact that they were bringing in all these big names and integrating them pretty well. There were some things that fell off the table, like I mentioned before. The Cadmus storyline was great, but they didn't stick with it all the time. They took some time off of it. So you had Terry Hatcher there. You had Linda Carter there. You had some just great single episodes with some great guest stars. I'm glad we did it. We had Superman come in, and I think they did okay at the end. I was hoping for just a little bit more, but it's still a fun Monday night show for me to watch. Did anybody have any favorite episodes that they want to talk about?
First episode was great, and I love the super butt. I'm going to watch the last two soon.
Chris, what did you think?
I enjoyed the Martian Chronicles episode because you get more on John Jones, who's been one of the more, I hate to say it, one of the more understated characters here. He hasn't gotten a ton of screen time. So when he got an episode that was pretty much all about him, McGann, and life on Mars and the fall of Mars, I really enjoyed that.
Steven, what do you got?
I gotta say, the first two episodes, The Adventures of Supergirl and The Last Children of Krypton, I think that these two here, not just because of Superman, like, yes, that was a nice thing, but I honestly think that Kara was at her best in those two episodes. She was more decisive. Like, if you looked at what she was doing and how she was interacting with Clark, she went at first and she was kind of following his lead, and then she just like, no, I'm going to take the reins. And I think that she was actually at her best in those first two episodes.
Michelle, what do you got?
Welcome to Earth. It was the first appearance of Linda Carter. There were some great Wonder Woman Easter eggs. The theme of tolerance and acceptance really started there. I had to pick one, so I picked that one.
I'll go with Supergirl Lives because, well, it's Stargate and Supergirl, so how can you go wrong with
Wait,
that?
Wait, they did that?
Yeah, they totally did that.
See, you gotta watch. Go watch, Wing. Watch now. Like, just hang up now and go watch.
Okay, bye.
It should be on Netflix by now, I think.
It's on Netflix. I think next weekend here we get all the 3-4 shows in like a big dump. So
wait a minute. You have Netflix in Canada?
Hey, we have Netflix and Star Trek's going to be on it.
Oh, don't remind me. Way to cut back there. Nice pull, I guess.
VPN.
You're wrong on that, Wing, but well, that's for another podcast.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
All right, let's rate the season on a scale of 1 to 10. Wing, you don't get to vote because, well, you didn't see the whole season. So
I'm giving a big 8 to the first two.
Okay, Chris, what do you got?
7.5.
All right, Steven?
I'm going to give it a 6. 6 out of 10.
Ouch.
Michelle?
The low part of it, I mean, if you took out the Guardian stuff, I think you would have a great season. So, 9.
Wow. Okay. You really like your Supergirl.
Yes. She had an interesting journey. I mean, she's only been Supergirl. This is her second season being Supergirl. So, of course, she's going to have stumbles and stuff.
Good point.
I would have given it an 8 if it wasn't for the Guardian storylines, as well as the whole Jimmy being boss thing and sort of the cluster that was the cleanup of season 1. I think when you put those in, I had to bring it down to a 6. There was too many weird areas within the season. So that's why I had to bring it down. Otherwise, I probably would have given it an 8.
See, that's kind of fair, though, because that transition at the beginning of the season of, I love you, James, to I don't love you in like 10 minutes. That was odd.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a 7 because, well, how can you go wrong every time Melissa actually plays with her glasses? It's cute.
Oh, yeah. You just nailed it.
So predictions for next season. Chris, what do you think's going to happen?
Mon-El's going to show back up in some way, shape, or form. I'm not sure what. And something more with White Martians. I don't know what yet, though.
Steven, what are your predictions for season 3 of Supergirl?
Mid-season finale ends up with Lena finding out who Kara is, and we end up with a Kara versus Lena arc. And also, yes, Mon-El will come back. Probably, though, I think it's not going to be until the back half of the season, like last few episodes.
They have been setting up that Kara and Lena storyline for quite some time. It's going to happen. I think it's going to happen next year. I don't think you're wrong there.
See, I think they're faking us out. I think it's not going to be as big a deal as we're expecting it to be once it's revealed.
It depends on what kind of headspace Lena is actually in.
Yeah.
Writers read blogs and stuff. They see that people want that. You're going to get that. And
so that's how we got Elicity.
There you go.
But we'll wait until we get to that show.
If I heard correctly, Michelle said that the White Martian was called Megan?
Megan, yeah.
Yeah, well, then she's the what's her name?
Ms. Martian.
So hopefully she'll be in the Teen Titans show next year. I'll talk about that next year.
We'll see if it actually happens. We've been kind of waiting for that for a couple years now.
I want Megan, Kid Flash, Arsenal, Speedy. We have a show.
We haven't talked a lot about Lena here, but I think her addition to the show was really nicely done. It was one of the few things that I think was consistent throughout the year, so I can't wait for what happens with that next year. Michelle, what do you think is going to happen in season 3?
I think the Kara Lena Supergirl dynamic is going to take a play. I really hope they do it in a little bit more mature way than just, oh my goodness, she lied to me, and then like we're enemies, because that whole, I don't want them to do the whole Superman thing, so I hope they do it in a different direction.
You mean friends off? That's what they're going to do? Hashtag friends off?
And for the past 2 seasons, the Legion ring has made an appearance. In fact, there's been a close-up of it on this season. So I think Mon-El is going to become part of the Legion and become part and return as Valor.
That's cool.
Lots of good things to come in season 3 of Supergirl. My prediction is that the DEO headquarters is finally revealed to be the Hall of Justice.
Can't be. We saw it on The Flash.
Yeah, kind of. It was a aircraft hangar in the middle of, yeah.
Different world, too. Different world, different universe.
That true.
Yeah. So in the meantime, we had this great thing teased to us all summer long, and everybody was ramped up over it, called Flashpoint. And I just have to say with that hashtag, damn it, Barry. And Steven, you know a lot about Flashpoint, so why don't you reel everybody in on exactly what happened and what went wrong?
So Flashpoint impacted Arrow, The Flash, and in theory, even though they didn't talk about it, Legends of Tomorrow. And what happened was that Barry, of course, went back, decided that he was going to save his mom, which created Flashpoint, thus my quote at the beginning of the show. He's like, no, this can't work, so I'll go change it back. And he doesn't change it back perfect. And there are repercussions because of it. It affected Arrow. It affected The Flash. And like I said, in theory, Legends of Tomorrow. So it was very interesting. And to me, I did not like this whatsoever. And I would have been okay with the Flashpoint itself story if we ended up going back, but because we got some changes, to me as a loyal Arrow fan, someone who's been there from the beginning and have been stuck through the struggles, it was a bit of a finger to me, so to speak, because I just felt that they disregarded the characters that I knew from that show, and they let Barry's mess on his show affect Arrow.
Well, they fix what they screwed up in Legends of Tomorrow, so I call that a nice fix in another show.
But did they really? Did they? Because Legends of Tomorrow ended in a weird spot.
It didn't fix Legends of Tomorrow. It just made things weirder, right? Like Flashpoint itself, the changes didn't fix anything with Legends of Tomorrow.
No, but in Legends of Tomorrow, they introduce Diggle Jr., which was the Green Arrow. And I found it really nice because I was looking at the timeline. I was like, timeline doesn't match. But I didn't care because that was the best episode they had that season. So when they went back and actually kind of fixed it, I was like, oh, cool. Now it's in continuity.
That was the one element that was interesting because that came up. But there's 100 other ways that that could have been dealt with. And I thought that it just wasn't nice to see Barry come in as well. It constantly for the first half of, you know, both series made me question, well, you know, do we know that this exists or do we know that that actually happened in the previous seasons? Like, I was constantly second guessing myself because I thought maybe there was something changed by Flashpoint. So I liked the idea of having it for the first few episodes of The Flash, but I did not like how when he came back, everything got affected, especially touching my beloved Arrow.
I think the thing that really hurt with Flashpoint is the graphic novel, if you haven't read it, or the arc of comics, it's really good. It's very much an Elseworlds tale. And it's greatly enjoyable. So we had that in the back of our minds when you end season two and like Flashpoint and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. It took what, an episode and a half before they reset everything? They moved really quick to reset Flashpoint. And I think part of the problem is fanboys like myself over the summer, like, yes, Flashpoint, this is going to be awesome. There's so much cool stuff they can do. And it was over in, pardon the pun, in a flash.
Michelle, help me out here. In your words, what was the purpose of CW doing Flashpoint?
To get fans of the comic all like talking about it. It was free press. There were so many articles about speculating what they could and could not do, what people had to look forward to. It was literally free press for the summer and kept everybody talking about Flash during the summer. I don't like that the only thing that happened on Arrow was there's no more baby Sarah. We just got baby John. And then that's it. It's like, if you're going to change Arrow, then fix season 3 or fix season 4 or do something besides, oh yeah, everything's the same except for this one little baby.
See, the problem, and we talked about it with Flashpoint, was this, that is, if it ran too long in Flash, because remember, I threw theories out, I'm like, Flashpoint's going to last like 4 or 5 episodes, it's going to be a nice little short arc in and of itself, but as I thought about it, and I think we all came to realize it too once the season started, the fact that Flash and Arrow share the same universe, if you've got Flashpoint going on in Flash, what are you supposed to do when Arrow comes on the next night? Is it taking place in the previous continuity, or?
You ignore it. You just ignore it.
You ignore it, just like you never see the Legends of Tomorrow stuff impact the Flash and Arrow.
Well, you can do that because they've stepped away from it, but they've made a big point, especially in Flash and Arrow, of being one-off episodes where they do a point-blank crossover, but then sometimes someone shows up from the other TV show to help out with something or be on screen for like 5 minutes. You've linked those two shows so closely together that you can't very well have two separate timelines going on at the same time with
yes,
them.
Yes, you can.
Want a whiteboard behind me because I'd like to draw the fork. You know, the fork we see on all time travel things where you end up having it so that they're both happening at the same time and then they re-merge.
Because that's not going to confuse people at all.
Well, but I think you guys are going too far. The people that could be confused is kind of us and we're going to follow. And my mom that watched the show, she just wants to watch her Stephen Amell doing this Salmon Ladder. She doesn't give a crap about one thing or one other.
That's fair.
In timelines. So we tend to think that everything is like the way we want because we know the original material. But we are the least under concern because we are 10% of the market.
Yeah, and that's the, and you're also assuming that the people who watch Arrow, like, actually also watch The Flash, and you don't know, right? Like, there's some crossover, but you don't know. So I would have rather them have done them separately, and then not, once it came back, there was no changes whatsoever.
You know, I'm curious about that, because the crossover ratings went through the roof, and I don't know if that was just new people coming in because it was the crossover and was highly promoted, or whether legitimately these other audiences for the other shows came in to watch the show. So it's difficult and darn near impossible to determine that, but that is an interesting thing. You know, I'm going to go back to Michelle here. The purpose of Flashpoint, I think, was to draw attention to Flash, get that publicity going into the season. And they had that big writer's retreat beforehand, you know, Guggenheim and Winnie Miracle and all those guys. I don't know if Greg Berlanti was involved or not. And they were really trying to plot out Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow, recovery from Arrow, Flash, and that sort of thing. Flashpoint was great for like the first episode, maybe two episodes. It screwed everything up. And I think the reason that they put it in there in that storyline is they were just mapping out the big rocks, and they got to the crossover in, when was it, late November, early December, and the Flashpoint was meant to culminate at that point in time. But after that, they were left with this big huge mess that was just really never cleaned up, and I just think it was poorly done for the rest of the season.
There's one quick thing, though, that we didn't talk about that was also, Michelle said there was only one change. The second change, the most important change, was that the Green Arrow got sleeves. That is the most important change out of everything.
Brought back the sleeves.
Well, they justify it later, but I think the most important thing is that the mega crossover happened in the penultimate episode of the mid-season, finally. You're welcome, Stephen.
I think it's all the Flash fans, because the Flash literally, like, it, I've done the ratings thing, like 18 to 49 in that demo, it's actually beat other shows in that time slot. So I think it was just the Flash fans, because that is, out of all of these, the more popular one now.
Should it be? I mean, Arrow had a great season. Arrow should be back in the lead here, but it's not. Everybody's going gaga over the Flash.
Arrow burned too many bridges with season 4 being so bad. That's the problem.
And people like sci-fi. Right now, people love sci-fi. They need to go to think about something else than reality. And as good as Arrow is when it goes back to reality, that's not what people are looking for right now.
And Flash was happy and bright, fun, and it needs to be that way and such. So
that's my biggest problem with The Flash this year, though, was the way they went away from that, right? Like, they brought in the character of HR so that they could keep an element of that. And aside from that, they went so much more down the Arrow path that it was crazy. You know, HR, I actually did not like that character the first few episodes. And then when they ended up, they started to go darker and darker. It was like, oh, this guy's nice. And I started to laugh at him a little bit. And he was a much needed comic relief.
I don't think we were supposed to like HR at first.
No.
Because remember, we were so used to Harry and things like that, and a very different kind of character, and you had to wait for him to grow on you.
I thought he was a spy. Like, he was doing that novel thing. I thought he was reporting back to somebody. I don't know who. I thought they were going to play a long game with him. He was just a nice guy that got caught up in some stuff, and he was just trying to do right at the end. And I miss Ed on the show. Ed is gone from the show, and I'm going to miss him. So RIP HR.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't have that this year, because this year I got Chartako to watch the first couple, and she was like, you told me these heroes were happy and the Flash was happy to be the Flash and all that jazz. Everybody is sulking and the funny guy from last year is not happy anymore. We're talking about Cisco here. And she was like, this show is not fun anymore. It's the same thing as Arrow. So she dropped after two episodes.
And that's another point of the Flash that just did not sit well with me with Flashpoint, is that we ended up having to relive that whole team building thing that we've seen. And it was so frustrating that they just went and they broke those relationships only to build them back up. You knew what was happening eventually. You knew that that was going to happen. And sure enough, they were all buddy, buddy.
Buddy, 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 buddy.
Just to, you know, give people powers and stuff like that. Because, yeah, I really didn't like what they did with the team and stuff.
All right, let's focus a little bit about the characters along the way. Let's each take a character as we go through the list here. And first, Michelle, why don't you start off with Iris?
Iris is the heart and soul of the team. She proved that. She proved that many times when she gave Barry the talk and was able to bring focus and everything. The writers on this show do not know how to treat their women. Iris needs to be more than just Barry's sister wife. and everything.
Creepy.
Also with Caitlin, I know I'm jumping, but I'm sorry. But with Caitlin, she needs to be more than just somebody's love interest. The first season, it was Ronnie. The second season, it was J/Zoom guy. This one, it was Julian. So in a way, I'm glad she's Killer Frost, and I hope she's just single.
I figured Draco Malfoy is going to die, because the one thing I've learned is if you love Caitlin Snow in this show, you're going to die.
The other thing I've learned is that when there's a paycheck to get and the actor is well known, if you can get him for another season, you do. Plot!
Cisco was incredibly intertwined throughout the entire year. In Flashpoint, he was really broken, and at certain other points, he was broken. But I think he really came into his own, and he had that whole romantic connection with Gypsy. I really enjoyed Cisco this season, and I can't wait to see how he evolves next year. Chris, what do you think?
He kind of came into his own at the end of the season when he's like, I want to save my friend. I want to go and save Caitlin. I don't want to die. I don't want her to die. I don't want to have to kill her. I want to save her. And that's when you kind of see him realize, okay, here's what I can do with these powers. Now, he didn't necessarily use his powers the way I would have. Oh, you're captured and you have the ability to jump through dimensions or move locations using your powers. Yet you stay captured by Savitar and don't use your powers to go, oh, let me go back to Star Labs or anything like that. But that's neither here nor there. It's one of the inconsistencies you have with this show is they conveniently forget people's powers when they need to. I liked how Cisco evolved through this season, and maybe he'll be in a happier place going forward.
I hope they're all happier going forward, because this season was definitely darker and sulkier.
We saw the future.
Yeah, right. Well, we saw the future and we got there and now it's changed. So we'll see what happens from here on in. Steven, you live up in the tundra. You're in Canada. You have snow all over the place. You actually are podcasting from an igloo. So I would think that Killer Frost would be one of your favorite characters on the show.
So obviously she got her powers because of Flashpoint, and where you have this whole battle the whole season. Will she turn into Killer Frost? Will she not? Oh no, Cisco has a vision of the two of them fighting, but they've got this little charm that's going to stop her from turning into Killer Frost. So it was very interesting to see her character go through that sort of turmoil and you kind of knowing where it's going to head eventually. I have to say that I was slightly disappointed the way they left it at the end of the season of her not going back to Caitlin. I feel like, again, it's almost a bit of a disservice to us. Like, I feel like we are going through that whole group dynamic thing again. And I think that that's set up for the next season. So she obviously is strong. She's an awesome villain when she wants to be. Now we're going down this other path where she's not going to be a villain. What does she say? Oh, I know that I'm not Killer Frost, but I'm not Caitlin either.
She has changed, and most importantly, she's changed because her eyes aren't glowing all the time, so they don't have to do makeup or CGI next year. So it's a cost-saving move for her character in next year.
She was actually, like, lamenting all year that those contacts really hurt, so I think that's why they did it.
It is a constant complaint among sci-fi where they have to do that sort of thing. The contacts, the grafts that or the mask you put over your skin, they will end up burning your skin. They will end up irritating your eyes to the point where you can't see. So that's actually a real thing, folks. And it can drive the budget up from your production when you have to do CGI versus the real effects with the contacts. Now, moving on a little bit, we have Detective West. Wing, I know you're a big Detective West fan, so what do you got for him?
The interesting thing is that we moved on from him being a father by himself. Now they were like, okay, let's give him a girlfriend, because nobody wants to go back to Barry with that, and nobody wants to do another HR thing until the end, which kind of worked. But I was kind of surprised they went there. So having Joe West to do this was interesting. But my favorite part was accepting that Wally had power as well, because you saw him as a father the first time, but you know, there's other kids in the family, and all of a sudden his brand new son that he just found back is kind of crazy about speed again, but now not a car, it just wants the power. So that relationship between those two characters I really, really love. To be honest, the last third of the season, I was not a big fan of this character, because they really went into all I want to do is I'm sulking, and we're getting near Iris dying, and more to that. That was less interesting. My favorite episode with him was the one when he had to tell his girlfriend what was happening. I think that was a good episode for him. They made him sing a little bit, and that's the best recurring part of Joe West this year.
So, I gotta say, I know you like Joe West, but he, to me, kind of a terrible dad, because both of his kids are obsessed with speed, and remember, don't do drugs.
And the other ones are obsessed with each other, so, yeah.
I was gonna bring that up, but I'm glad you did. He's got an interesting family life, where he's got two kids that are hooking up, he's got two of his kids that are speedsters, he's got this weird relationship going on himself. And he's got this obsession with singing, which isn't a bad obsession, but he's got it. And he's interesting. He can, in an alternate universe, be quite the drunk as well. So he's got a lot of things going on in his head. Talking about his kids, Wally West, kind of a heartfelt season for him. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he grew on me. You know, he was obsessed with getting powers. He got powers thanks to Dr. Alchemy, because he had him in Flashpoint. And then Alchemy comes along, who's a minion of Savitar, and he gets powers that way. And then he has a relationship with Jesse Quick from Earth 2. But for some reason, she decides to be a Flash on Earth 3, meaning I guess Earth 2 is not good enough to have a Flash, or maybe it doesn't need a Flash anymore. Anywho. But, you know, season ends because Barry goes quietly into the Speed Force to atone for his sins. So it looks like maybe a first few episodes he gets to be Flash instead of just Kid Flash.
It's interesting in Rebirth Comics, because you actually have two Wally Wests going on simultaneously. So it's interesting to see what they're doing with that, and then trying to bring some of that in to, and I know Wally West goes far back beyond Rebirth, but it's interesting to see what they're trying to do between the comics and Wally West here. And then Wally West is not supposed to be in the Flash movie, at least I haven't heard anything like that. So this is going to be the Wally West that we know of in the DC visual universe, at least for now. Wing, you're kind of a Wally West guy just because of the Titans, right?
No, actually not. Wally West was my Flash. When I started reading Justice League, Barry Allen was dead. I'll be totally honest. I like the TV show The Flash. I don't care at all about Barry Allen. Just give me Ginger Wally West as the main Flash all the time. But then, yes, he was in Teen Titans and Titan, and his relationship is really good with the other character. But yeah, I'm kind of hoping we're going to get the red and white suit, and we're going to be able to spin that off into Teen Titan, because we got way too many speedsters on that show right now.
Yeah, see, Wing, I'm in the same boat. When I started reading Flash comics, my Flash was Wally West. So for me, Barry Allen's all right, but to me, Wally West is always the Flash to me.
And we've got him on this show, so that's all good. We also have some villains on the show, and we need to talk about them all. We've had Thawing, we've had Zoom, and now we've had Savitar. So right now, Chris, Steven, you're in the ring, you're fighting it out. Which villain do you choose and why?
Thawing.
Yeah.
Anybody's going to not choose Thawing? Just let's go in verse.
No, it's got to be Thawing. Savitar was only reliant on the information that Barry was giving to him through being Barry, right? So, you know, not knowing Thawing's memories and mine, Thawing's going to win every time.
And plus, the actor who played Thawne, like, I can't remember the actor's name, but after he took away his fake face, basically, and you started to get to see him in Legends of Tomorrow and things like this, man, he was so good at making you hate that character.
He's the best of the Thawne face, and I love HR, or the actor that plays all these characters. The other guy they got is the best Thawne.
Yes. Yeah, he had barely any screen time in season one, but then as his characters evolved, you're like, man, Matt Lench or something like that. I can't remember, but very good. Plus the fact that Thawne has always been more of a thinker and his plans, you know, actually worked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual character that was on this season, which was Savitar. Now, obviously, it was revealed eventually to be Barry from the future, or a time remnant of Barry, and he's all about killing Iris, and we're in this chicken and the egg loop sort of thing is what we find out. Now, let's ask this question here. Who actually thinks that was the end result when they introduced Savitar? Because I personally don't think that Barry was the future of Savitar. I think that it was actually going to be a different character, and they decided to go that way.
I'm going to go with Big Boss Steven.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's clearly, because, yeah, I'm the future Flash, they used that to retcon their thing, but as, first of all, Savitar is a character, and I thought they were basically making Godspeed, which would have made a lot of sense for the first 8 to 10 episodes, and then it started going somewhere else, and as you said, even the fact that it's not even Barry is a cop-out. You want me to care about Savitar? It's better be main Barry turned bad and not like a kind of clone that we can make because we used them in the season finale last year. That was cheap.
And I'm mad because they didn't accept me because they knew I'm just a clone. So I'm going to kill Iris. The motivations kind of came off as weak to me at the end.
I would have liked to have seen something really from left field, like a Flashpoint version of, like, I don't know, Oliver Queen or somebody from the Arrow. Like, I would have liked to have seen something like that, something just way out there than the predictable everybody guessed Barry as they started to hone in on that reveal.
One of the theories that I really liked online was having Eddie back because he killed himself to save, you know, to prevent Eobard from being, and so he's got like that weird relationship with the Speed Force now, and so a lot of us were like, hey, with Flashpoint with this, and wouldn't that be cool? And we're like, oh yeah, and then it's just,
that's the best theory because he got sucked in it when he died. I'm behind Michelle. That's the best theory. That's what they should have done.
No, not Ronnie, Eddie, the Iris's boyfriend of the first season.
That's what I said.
He didn't get sucked into anything.
He dissolved.
Yeah,
he dissolved. Still, he's on the Speed Force somewhere. I'm good with that.
The Speed Force is the ultimate Deus Ex in the Flash comics, so you could spin it that way, or you could have it be, this is Eddie that came out of Flashpoint, or something like that. Or the manifestation of Eddie comes out of the Speed Force and is twisted, who knows?
Eddie didn't dissolve, he just killed himself, because it was Thawne that dissolved. Thawne was the grandson. Eddie is in a casket somewhere.
If you want the answer to that, you can go back on the Starling Tribune feed and listen to the season one ending conversation. And for now, the big question is, you guys, can you rate this season? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm taking your job, SP.
Well, before we do that, Michelle, do you have any highlights that you want to point out that we haven't covered already?
No, not really.
You don't want to point out the musical episode?
That was my favorite episode. Are we moving into favorite episodes?
Well, let's just move right into the favorite episode. Michelle, what was your favorite episode?
My favorite episode was Duet. It was the musical episode. I liked just seeing, you know, John Barrowman was back and everything. And it made me like Barry again.
All right. Steven, what was your favorite episode?
My favorite episode was the Gonna Geek special. The Gonna Geek on Gonna Geek special. That was my favorite episode and the only good thing, in my opinion, that came from that musical episode when you look at it. I think it completely missed the mark as a supposed to have fun musical episode. It wasn't a very good songs, wasn't a very, very well produced. I thought it totally missed the mark and there was like one song which I was singing, Super Friends. That was the tone that this had to be on The Flash, and they didn't. It was way out there. So my favorite, after all that ranting, my favorite was the two-part Gorilla City arc. They Attack on Gorilla City and Attack on Central City. I thought that that was a really, really fun story for us to have. And it was almost season one and two Flash.
Anytime you have Gorilla Grodd on, it is going to be amazing. And I do think that they're setting Gorilla Grodd up for the long haul, and he's not gone. We're going to see him again. Chris, what was your favorite episode?
So the one I really enjoyed was Into the Speed Force. That's when Barry has to go and rescue Wally. And what was fun about that is they brought Eddie back, sort of. And then you get John Wesley Shipp returns as Jay Garrick to save the day and be a total badass.
Yeah. Who can go wrong there? Wing, I know you've watched these episodes, so what is your favorite?
My favorite one, even if it was kind of stupid because it had no impact whatsoever on the show, was the Iced episode with Captain Cold and King Shark. First of all, to repeat what you said, every time you got King Shark in the show, it's a good show. And I really love the relationship between Snark and the Flash. So all that episode, I really, really love. It's just the ending that was kind of a letdown. It's like, oh, would have given it to you anywhere. Why did we did that episode? Oh, we needed a filler. But I loved it, so.
Man, I miss Snart.
Me too.
It was good seeing Wentworth Miller on whenever he was this season. And he signed that limited contract, which allowed him to appear in different shows. So it was fun seeing him around. My favorite episode, by the way, is Invasion because, well, the superhero fight club when they were training in the series was pretty good indeed.
Well, you're cheating. Of course it's the best episode. This is a crossover.
I don't care. It was an episode of Flash. I get to claim it. There you go.
That was a good part of the crossover. The Flash was okay. Okay, maybe I'm going to downgrade it again. It was mediocre.
Legends had the best part of the crossover.
No, the Legends of Tomorrow was.
Until the ending.
Oh, come on, we got Laurel back in Arrow. Come on.
Hashtag no Laurel, no Chris. Isn't that what it is? Wait, no Laurel, no Feral. There you go.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, all right, come no. back, Chris, because we need to rate the season, and you are first up. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you rate the season 3, right? Season 3 of The Flash.
Yeah, it's season 3. I don't know, 5.5, 5. I didn't like it that much.
Chris, no likey. Steven, what do you got?
I'm going to give it a solid 4 out of 10. A solid 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Ouch. You're one of those people that caused the ratings to go down. Michelle.
Well, Barry using Iris as to motivate Barry, that sucked. Cisco, 5.
5. Michelle's at a 5. All low ratings. Wing.
You guys are so French. Oh my God. You're judging the main arc of a TV show. I'm going to judge the how many episodes that I was entertained really versus how many episodes I didn't care whatsoever. I'm going to give this a solid 7 out of 10. It's not House of Cards that I'm watching right now that's clearly a 10 out of 10, but it got me entertaining than every episode. I would say over 50% of the episodes were more entertaining than anything else. And I think it is a good show, and it needs to pass the grading mark. What is it? 60%? 6. And it's a little bit better than that. You want to watch really, really bad show? Watch soap opera. That's a 3.5.
This was a soap opera.
Yeah. I got to say that, like, most of the first half of the season, I was messaging one of you three, not you.
You don't message me anymore. I'm in Canada. You know what? Long distance charge.
Exactly. I was messaging one of you three on like a weekly basis going, it's not my Flash.
If they get Arrow right, they can get Flash right and vice versa.
But they can't seem to get them right at the same time is the problem.
They need to spend a lot of time in a writing room to make this work. You know, it was a show that I kept up with just because it was intertwined with Supergirl and Arrow, but I'll admit it was the last weekly show that I watched, and for that I will give it a rounding sounding 5. Let's move into predictions for next season. Chris, what do you think is going to happen?
Barry's back at the end of episode 1.
Oh yeah.
That's a no duh. He's still the main star of the show, so yeah, he's coming back.
I was really hoping they'd do a little twist though, and you get Wally as the Flash for a few episodes, and maybe just some little peeks of something going on in the Speed Force, of trouble a-brewing in your glimpse of Barry there. I would love to see Wally get a chance to shine on his own.
As far as cliffhangers, this is only just marginally better than the Arrow cliffhanger, and both were pretty bad indeed.
I gotta say, for me, I disagree. I think that we're gonna get at least two, maybe three, of people just the universe without Barry, and we're gonna have intertwined Barry wherever he is. I think we're gonna get that split. I think we're gonna have that for two or three episodes at the beginning, and then we're gonna get into some terrible Frost trying to find her way into the group thing. I think we're gonna get a horrible little Frost tries to find her way story.
Michelle, predictions. Season 4, The Flash.
Yeah, I mean, Barry's going to be back, but I think the big bad's going to be the Thinker, because DeVoe's been mentioned a few times.
Yeah. There you go. The Thinker, the big bad for Season 4. Wing, any big predictions for next season for The Flash?
Prediction. Pain. No, that's not Rocky.
Mr. T's coming in?
Honestly, if I was going by comic, I would say a bunch of speedster because of the lightning storm at the end. But I really don't want them to go there. I'm going to agree with Michelle. DeVoe is clearly the next villain. They teased him like two or three times during the season. So we're probably going to go there. We're going to have Caitlin being Killer Frost, not being Killer Frost, being Killer Frost, not being Killer Frost. And we're going to go for another HR. And probably that Iris going to leave Barry for a couple of weeks around Christmas.
I predict that we will see a wedding in our future for the season finale.
Yeah, maybe. You know what? I don't want them to do a wedding season. Just get rid of it at Christmas and move on.
I don't know, guys. Iris moves on pretty fast. Eddie died in season one, and she's about to get married to Barry now.
To her brother. Come on, that's the worst reborn guy you can ever have.
Weak joke, but I mean, I don't know that we'll actually see the wedding, because then they can play around more with the will they, won't they, are they actually going to be able to pull this off kind of thing.
What do we decided to call them? Were we going with Barris as their shipping name? Barris, is that what we were going with?
I was going with Incest.
Incest, exactly. Incest.
Since you're going to mention it, I left it alone during Supergirl, but I got to come in here and defend somebody who on the show a long time ago made a comment about last year, maybe Kara and her sister could hook up. It's the same relationship when we look at it. You know, we've got adopted Barry, adopted Iris hooking up. And that's the same thing that we had with Kara and her sister. So
your point is still bad, by the way.
That comment was made by those two actors at C2E2. The question was made to them, and they looked at each other for a moment, and then they said, ew, no, that's not going to work. We're sisters. That's why it was brought up.
Okay, but still, I'm saying, it's been established. It's the same relationship. It could happen.
It's not established. They're not dating.
Well, but can we establish that if you grow up with someone, don't date them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we talk about Arrow? I was here for that.
You signed on for the full Monty Wing, but yes, now you can talk about Arrow. What do you have to say about Arrow?
That was the season. I think this season is better than season one. There's season two, season five, season one, season three, and four. Four is the bottom of the barrel. If we could erase it, that would be great. But seriously, that was great. I like the way that they dropped some thread that we're going to be able to get back next year. I love the vigilante idea that we got no answer whatsoever. And the way they adapted a Batman villain, Prometheus, for Oliver Queen with Mayor Queen. What did I told you when we started that cast that I wanted? I wanted Mayor Queen. I got it. This is one of my favorite seasons. I got a bunch of superhero fighting crimes and Laurel's dead.
The show did so well this year, Wing, that it got moved from its Wednesday time spot to Thursday.
Well, when you show me the number, the number sucks. I don't even know why they actually renewed that show. But you know what? Moving it is probably not a bad thing.
It gets the supernatural bounce now as part of what's going on, too.
There you go.
Let's talk about Arrow. The stereotypical Arrow, it starts with the flashbacks and we had what we had been pining for since season one with the Russian flashbacks. Michelle, how do you think that it pulled off as a season?
I think the flashbacks started off strong and I was enjoying them. And then you had the Bratva episode where in present day, Ollie goes to Russia and gets help from the Bratva, and then all of a sudden you see Anatoly. And the thing about the flashbacks is like, well, we know Oliver was going to live. We knew he's going to become a Bratva captain. And so really the only mystery they had was what's going to happen with Anatoly and things like that. And then once we realized Anatoly lived, then it was like we knew everything that was going to happen in the flashbacks. And it just lost all momentum and everything. So I like that we got Talia, but other than that, it was okay.
Talia. I'm going to need a moment.
I'll be in my bunk.
Yeah, you see, that's the character that I was like, oh, they actually threw Talia to throw Talia because they could. Now they could, so they did. Because at this point, this character is so superfluous. She's kind of useless. And she came up with the Green Arrow. Oh, so now we're really Batman because Leave Assassin came up with the suit.
We're not allowed to use Batman in TV, so we got to go and make Arrow be Batman. We already knew this was happening since season one of the show.
I think it's time to dig out that bat checklist.
Yeah, here you go. Oh, God. For this episode? Yeah, there's a lot of bat checklists to go through in this one.
So, Stephen, what was your overall take? I know you were on a few episodes of Starling Tribune throughout the year, but what was your overall take of the season of Arrow?
Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I thought that it was a good season to have. It's just a shame that it suffered from the previous terrible season. And I gotta say that I would have to really just like count my beans to determine whether or not this was first or second favorite flashback arc. I think it's actually my favorite flashback arc. I think that it was nice. We started to see that true final transformation of Oliver into the bad you know what that I can't say on this podcast that he is. Because he's just like we saw him become this ruthless person that he was at season one, the very beginning of season one. And it was so nice to see that switch happen. Plus, how can you argue with a fake beard and hair delivered to an island? It's amazing.
I'll tell you why you're wrong that the flashbacks were the best ever, because we didn't see Slade Wilson's plane crash. That ruined it for me.
You know what? That was good flashback, but I'm going to agree with Steven there. Those were my favorite flashback because I love a good mafia story and did give us a good one. I agree with Michelle. There's no, you know, people are going to survive, but when you introduce a character that's called the KGBs and Green Arrow, I don't expect them to die anyway. So
you bring up a good point. You talk about mafia stories. Michelle has been pining for one all season long, but she's been focused on the Bertinellis. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, if you notice, they mentioned the Bertinellis at the beginning of the season. We had a vigilante at the beginning of the season. And then they got the news that they were being renewed. And I think they kind of went, oh, F. Anything we had planned for that? Maybe we should leave that for season six so we can have something for season six. Because if you notice, all that stuff got dropped and they just focused on Prometheus. So that was disappointing.
I like that. It's comic book. You plant something and you come back to it 3 years later.
Well, I mean, and Prometheus is the right guy to do it with because Josh Segarra was awesome as Adrian Chase and Prometheus throughout the year, especially as it evolved. And you've got, oh, here's my buddy, the district attorney. Oh, now I know he's Prometheus, but no one else does. And he's screwing with me the entire time. He just played it so well, and he knew from day one, once he got the role, that he was going to be Prometheus. Like, we all thought, oh, he's going to be Vigilante because he's Adrian Chase. Everything says that. When he did the audition, all that, he got the role, and then they pulled him aside and said, okay, here's the deal. You're actually the bad guy. And he was like, oh, this is awesome. And
nice.
He nailed it. His Prometheus was, he was twisted, screwed up, weird, and did a great job of always being 10 steps ahead of Oliver Queen, even when it didn't make sense that he would be ahead of him. But that's a separate topic. You believed it, though, because Josh Segarra was so good at playing the role.
Adrian Chase was my second favorite villain this year on the CW. Who do you think my first was, Chris?
The writer's room.
Oh, that's it. Drop the mic.
Here you go, Chris.
It's been great. We'll see you next week.
Trying to lead you right up into saying Kovar, and no, you took it to the Arrow writers.
I went for the joke. I go for the cheap pops, guys. I'm like a wrestling heel, okay?
There you go. Adrian Chase was a very good villain. I think he was one of the best villains on DC this year, Steven, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I really liked him in there, especially once we got the reveal. Up to that point, I was not sold on the character. I thought that he was a little bit just dead weight, and he seemed like he was not lining up. But then as soon as they dropped that, it was nice. And it was one of the best sort of villains and counters to Oliver that we've had, because he didn't have a serum in him, or he wasn't, you know, this super villain sort of thing. He was a guy that was mad.
I have several likes and dislikes for this season. I liked Dinah Drake. I disliked Felicity. I liked the new team, one that it was, Renee getting to know him. I disliked the cliffhanger at the end. This was a season of extremes when you come down to it, and I don't, obviously it didn't play well, or people were just abandoning the show after a poor season four.
I think a lot of what hurt them was people got burned by season four. I point blank said, if we weren't podcasting after season four, I probably would have dropped the show, because at the end I was just like, what the hell just happened? I don't like much of what happened here. Most of the characters in a state where I don't care about them. Now, season five I thought was very good, but there's certainly people out there that were like me that said, oh, the hell with this, I'm done.
Hey, and we just touched on it, but how cool was it that we got Black Canary, the real thing.
Yeah, and she is Black Canary now, too.
Yeah, I agree, too. And I think that the whole new team thing, I first didn't like it at all when it came in. But what I realized was I didn't mind the new team itself. I didn't like the way it was brought in and it was forced. It was like, this is something that we're going to have and spell it out right now, that we're trying to find new recruits. And I didn't like that. I think if they had sort of brought it in gradually, I think it would have been a lot better, because I like most of the new team. I think that it's been a pretty good team. I don't really like how all of a sudden Ragman's gone, or whatever his name is. Like, that was a weird exit.
Yeah. Artemis is just a traitor. Yeah.
She's dead, too.
Well, she's Artemis, so of course she's a traitor.
And I think Curtis's story was okay, but I have to say that I do really think that the highlight goes to, wow, I'm totally drawing a blank on his name.
Mr. Terrific?
Use your words.
Wow, Renee. I think that the highlight goes to Renee. I think he was the best new character brought in, and that includes Curtis. I think that Renee was amazing, and he has, to me, without question, the best non-Oliver flashback in the entire run. The best non-Oliver flashback in the entire series goes to Renee.
That was very powerful, the flashback part of it. It was the best part of the episode, obviously. The episode was really terrible overall, because that was the gun control episode, right?
Yeah, that was terrible! And I had that on my notes. That was another really big misstep for me, was that. But overall, I thought they did a great job trying to pick up the pieces and the mess that they made. And again, Slade Wilson, like, that says a lot. We ended up getting Manu Bennett back. Like, that's a great way to end it out there and fake us out even in that finale. It was awesome. I loved it. It was, to me, a really good season. I'm not rating it as high as Wayne does. I got to say, I think that it's probably my second favorite to season two.
That's where I rate it.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Slade and some of the stuff, because I've been lurking on the Arrow subreddit for a while, and there's someone that brought up nice little touches, like when Slade pulls the gun on Oliver in season five, it's the exact same way he does when he trains him in season two of how to overcome a gunman. So one could assume that Oliver knows, oh, okay, he's actually on my side, he's just playing the role here. So many nice little touches, but again, I'm also a Slade Wilson fanboy, so...
Yeah, but they brought it back and we all went, and this is one of the best episodes. As soon as he got in the show, the show just got better.
And my favorite thing coming out of that is how Manu Bennett has basically been campaigning, and the fans have been campaigning with him to get a Slade Wilson spinoff, be it a short Netflix series or an SL animated series on CW Seed or something like that. Everyone is like, oh, yeah, we want more Deathstroke. You could have a cool Deathstroke redemption arc coming out of the end of season five.
Titan. He's got the address of Joseph. Titan.
Oh,
Titan.
That'd be so good.
Oh, God, I know.
And Manu Bennett seems like he'd come back to do it, considering how much he's retweeting and mentioning on Twitter all these people like, we want a Slade TV show. We want a Slade TV show. Make it happen. I would totally, totally love to see it.
What's his other job right now?
He's on Shannara Chronicles.
Oh, there's a chance he gets killed by the end of this season. Probably he's looking for a job.
Yeah, they follow the books.
There you go.
SP, you haven't given us your take yet.
On the season, it was probably not as good as season two to me, but I'm a completionist and I like world building. And this season really brought us to the end, especially when you tied the two ends together of when Oliver was actually rescued on the boat. I didn't care for the conversation with Moira Queen because I could care less about that character. About the same as Chris could care about Laurel Lance. But I think they did a decent job of trying to resurrect the show given what had happened to everything. However, one of the things that is constantly in there is Elicity. And I think the more and more that they go down that road, the more that they're going to drive people, additional people, away from the show because nobody wants to see it anymore. It was done. It was stupid. It's over. Let's move on. And they try to bring it back at the end. One of the predictions is possibly that Felicity will not be coming back for next year. But I think that they just can't do that. They can't do Arrow without her. I think that's what everybody's thinking. Now, it was very interesting this past week because Chris dug up this post on Reddit, which was basically an open letter to Mark Guggenheim. Elicity was one of the issues there, but there was other things going on as well. There was a large discussion on Laurel Lance as well. I don't know if Mark's ever going to see this letter. I hope he does. But I think it did a great job in not really being a detriment. They really tried to, I don't think I agree to everything on this letter, by the way, but it really tried to level-headed look at from a fan's view of what the show had done. And this is a person that's a Green Arrow fan. He is an Arrow fan, and yet he is having difficulties staying with the show. And I think the cliffhanger, as much as they wanted it to be great, it's like, no, duh, they're going to survive. I mean, come on. I know some bad things happen, but not all of them are going to die. Some of them will, but I don't think all of them will. And the way they left Malcolm at the end, yes, they try to imply he died, but show me the body.
Dude, his name's the Magician.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never show the body in a comic book. You want to have it out in case of. And I would say that I don't agree with you with the cliffhanger. Yeah, there's a cliffhanger. There's no cliffhanger. The same way there's no cliffhanger in The Flash. He's going to come back. There's no really cliffhanger in this one. They're with Slade in the prison. Who cares? But we started on the island. We ended up destroying the island. I love my book ending. That's why I love Moira in that episode, even if I hate that character. The book ended well. This is a great show. Finally, I don't even need to know if the other people survived.
I'm going to say something that's going to make me like want to vomit here. And it's, I agree, Wing.
Yeah. You start with a son and a father on a boat, and you end up with a son and a father on a boat.
Yes. I love the Moira ending. I think it was much needed. Since we've said we're putting away the flashbacks. We've wrapped up the flashbacks. We've got him off of the island. It was what we needed. That call that we should have seen in the first episode, it was fantastic. Loved it.
It was a little bit of How I Met Your Mother in that they backed themselves into they're going to this spot. And they did as good as they could. But I mean, that whole temple on the island that nobody had ever seen before in the previous 5 years.
Go on the Arrow subreddit. There's actually a brief mention of it and a sight of it in one of the old seasons when Oliver's got binoculars. He sees out in the distance. Now, he never went to it, but they actually showed that temple in Leanne Yu in earlier seasons.
Oh,
very cool. Love it. Okay, let me increase my rating.
Yeah, credit goes to the Arrow subreddit for that, because there's been a ton of Reddit threads on there that is, hey, did you guys catch this little Easter egg that was tossed in there that ties back into something that was already done here? Now, you're not going to catch that if you haven't been watching religiously or if you're just watching for fun, but you've got some of these people like that has to have meaning that have gone through and rewatched the episodes and have found it. Now, there's a bunch of junk posts on the Reddit right now making jokes of things, but there's some really great ones. They're like, did you guys catch this little Easter egg in the finale? And you go and look at it and you're like, whoa. Either they were really lucky or they planned this out really well. And I'm starting to think they planned it out really well.
I think they have had to plan it out because there was a lot of Easter eggs throughout the entire series. So it doesn't surprise me, but I guess the execution failed me a little bit. I mean, yes, the plot was there. The storyline was there. Maybe my expectations were too high. I don't know, but it fell just a little short.
If I may, the action was not up to par with all the rest of the season. That was the big letdown.
Yes.
That was not Banu Bennett in that suit when he was fighting. I guarantee that.
It wasn't. He sent a tweet that he was filming in Australia.
There you go.
There's a reason why Slade takes his helmet off and on throughout the finale episode.
They had him for like 2 days?
We talked about it last week in that it was very obvious that it was stunt people doing the action. It wasn't the actors. And a little bit of that is because they just have a lot bigger cast than they did back in season one, season two. But I will always go back to that triple level fight. I think it was in season two. I really should look up that episode name because I can't remember it. It was with the League of Assassins and you had Nissa Gould. You had, it just had a lot going on in the entire thing. And I wish they would bring that back to Arrow. But I think they're at a point financially where it's going to be very difficult to do it. Or maybe they just don't have the stunt people around anymore. Because Oscar Balderrama, he is doing more production and direction role than a stunt coordination role anymore. And maybe that's an issue. I don't know. Maybe the trope has run its course and everybody doesn't want to do it anymore. I don't know. But you're right. The action was a little bit lacking this year. So, Wing, you haven't been on at all this year. Is there anything more about the season that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm just going to echo a couple of things that you said. I think that bringing him a team, we saw in season two, it was working. So coming back to that, and I'll be honest, when they got Wild Dog, I was like, what? That B-rate non-character? And they made him the most interesting character. I found that interesting that the guy, they had the, I don't remember the name, but the guy with the cape. But again, I was happy that he left because he was kind of a Deus Ex Machina. It was basically just a shield.
Are you talking about Ragman?
Yeah, that was getting old. And it's a character that I like. It's a villain in Nightwing. And again, it's a villain. I was waiting for him to turn. But, now overall, this is a good season. I love that we finished a flashback. I'm sorry, Michelle, on high. Really, really love everything that had to do with the Russian. The beard thing at the end is a stretch. They could have just made Kovar make him like lose the boat and get another boat in 2 months, and that would have been fine. But I'm not going to gripe on that.
That's not a two-month beard, by the way. That's a two-year beard.
You know, he's the Green Arrow.
Magic herbs, man. There's hair growth herbs on Lian Yu.
There you go. You put that on your face and it just grows. But if Arrow can get his viewership back and go back to a street level superhero, I want Green Arrow to be treated like the Netflix shows. You're a street level superhero. Let the other show deal with all the super speed and supernatural and all that jazz. Cross them over? Sure. Don't make this the center of your season. We've shown twice that the best that Arrow is when a villain is personally intertwined with Oliver Queen. All the other one didn't work as well.
There's a possibility for doing that next year because it is moving to Thursday. And in addition to moving to Thursday, it's moving to 9 o'clock. So I think the hour later might increase the action. I hope it doesn't increase the gore with it as well. That might drive some people away. But you have at least right now the possibility. Steven, you were on a few episodes, but you weren't on last week when we talked about the last episode. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about to wrap the whole season up?
No, I gotta say, I think overall it was a good plot. There were some ups and downs, the big down being the initial recruitment. I thought that was a little bit weird. And then I also, damn it, Barry, you know, I didn't like that, but overall, I thought it was really good, and I was very surprised with how well that last flashbacks worked and wrapped up. So, yeah, I'm with Winging. It is. I think the flashbacks ended on a high, and I liked it. And overall, was pretty good with it. The biggest black eye is definitely the gun control episode, though, that was out of place to me.
Too preachy.
This is the first time that the two Canadians agree on something on the whole cast. I don't know what happened in the last couple of months.
Oh, there's one other thing too that I meant to mention as well is episode 100 to me failed and succeeded. Episode 100 succeeded massively as an episode 100. It failed miserably as a crossover.
Yeah.
Yep.
The crossover failed.
Except for from the ratings standpoint where it was a massive success.
The episode there was two very good and two what? That's a crossover, and
Supergirl should not have been considered part of that crossover when they took everything that aired on Supergirl and re-aired it on Flash the very next night. But I complained and crapped all over that already on the Starling Tribune. I won't do it again.
I'll wear my Flash mask for the end of the rest of this episode, and that'll still give you more Flash than we had on Supergirl.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yep.
Fair enough, fair enough. So, Chris, any last thoughts about the season as a whole before we get to favorite episodes and rate the season?
So, like I said, I enjoyed it on whole. I mean, the thing that'll be very interesting to me is if the positive word of mouth coming out of people who stuck around for season 5 helps anyone else out and says, you know what? This is on Netflix now. Maybe I can go back and watch season 5 and see if that gives them a bump moving into the new season, because we've been fairly positive on this season. If you remember last year, this time frame, the Arrow subreddit had redecorated to be a Daredevil subreddit, basically, because they said this is far superior to this show. People are a bit more happy with the show right now, and I'm really hoping positive word of mouth kind of pushes everyone over to Netflix. People watch season 5 and get excited about the show again.
And I've saved the best for last, and contrary to my co-host thinking right now, I haven't forgotten about her. Michelle, let's wrap up the season before we get to the final things.
Well, I actually watched the season finale and actually watched the first episode, the pilot, back to back to see if it actually worked, and it does. I think that is masterful, because it's, you know, is that the Ollie that we get in episode 1? It definitely is. Even the burn on the lower back, the scar tissue, how he is, everything like that. The gun control episode was just awful, because you had this preachy episode, and then for the rest of the season, you had everybody using guns.
That was my problem.
And Oliver, too. Oliver even had guns.
Yeah, everybody had guns. Was that the magical thing, that everybody got guns and that's how everything got solved? I didn't mind the team, but then it didn't give room for Thea and Diggle to happen. My problems with Felicity continue. I haven't liked Felicity. My problems with Felicity actually go back to how she treated Ray. I didn't like how the writers basically had her use Ray as an Oliver substitute. I really wanted her and Ray to actually have an actual relationship. So her and Oliver, they could actually develop that relationship into some sort of quippy best friend deal, because I'm not an Felicity fan. But, you know, this also suffers from being too big. But I did enjoy the season, the fighting. It was a great villain, that whole mental mess with your mind and emotions sort of deal. You know, Prometheus is a Slade Wilson level villain, not better. Slade's Deathstroke's the best. But it was a strong season until you kind of poke at it a little bit and you kind of see the weak part.
Well, hopefully next year we will have less weak parts and more strong parts. In the meantime, we did have some favorite moments during the season. Chris, what was your favorite episode?
Favorite episode? I think a lot of people will be saying this. It's the finale, and for two words, Slade Wilson. Slade Wilson's my favorite character in this entire show. I was bummed when it looked like things had broken irrevocably between Manu Bennett and the Arrow writing team, and to see him come back for the finale, and to get a Slade Wilson who is sane, has seen what's gone on, and kind of is looking at a potential redemption arc, has me really intrigued to see what happens with that character going forward.
I'm not going to make you repeat. Same thing as he said, moving on.
Michelle?
Yeah, Leon Yu, Slade Wilson, and technically you don't need any of the other episodes, because the way this was written, Black Siren actually says, hey, Chase freed me, that's why I'm here. Oliver was always, my son, I need my son. The sisters were like, hey, dad was a disappointment, I can't believe, blah, blah, blah. So it's like you knew why everybody was there. And it was kind of weird that you didn't need any of the other episodes from the season.
I will go with Leon Yu, but for completely different reasons. It was because you got the Talia and Nyssa fight. It's because you got the Black Canaries fight. And let's not forget, Anna Hopkins came back as Samantha. So Leon Yu is my favorite episode of the season. Steven, what do you got?
Well, I would usually say Leon Yu, but when I went into the document to put this in, Michelle had it in there first. And as I always say, Michelle knows the best, so I knew she was going to say it. And I usually would agree. And if I was being honest, I would agree. But instead, I'll take the shot at a certain Lance and say that Second Chances was my favorite because that was the introduction of Dina, the good character.
The good canary.
The real canary.
No, but she has the real background. She has the real attitude. She is the black canary I've been reading for 25 years.
I agree. Like, it was actually one of my high episodes because I liked seeing her come in and I was mind blown with the chemistry that was in there. But yeah, seriously though, Leanne Hugh, for actually both reasons that SP mentioned and everybody else, I think that it was a solid episode.
Who do we think's dead?
Felicity. Yay.
Maybe Quentin.
Maybe nobody.
No, they're going to have to kill someone. Even if it's just Artemis.
Yeah, well, Artemis, it's kind of called when she said, like, I'm here and blah, 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 you're going to die. So she's dead. Diggle?
No.
I think you're going to get Diggle as director of Argus going forward. That's one of my conspiracy theories. But I think that, what's his name? Oliver's baby mom is dead.
Samantha,
I think she's dead. So you're going to have the Legion of Single Fathers next season on Arrow as Renee and Ollie. And Diggle, potentially, because they could kill Lila, too, at some point.
But she's busy on another TV show. Yeah, just kill her and give us the sun. Come on.
Nah, we don't want the sun. Nah, the sun's not going to happen.
I have spoken to Anna Hopkins, and she couldn't give anything away to me. But she was being very coy about the possibility of her returning next year, at least in some capacity. So I don't know. The door is still open as far as Anna Hopkins is concerned, but that might not be what the producers say.
We're going to get the kids flashback for the next 5 years. Huh? That's what's going to happen.
Hey, if that means more Anna Hopkins, I'm all for it.
You know what? Another character I checked for Michelle earlier, but the actress that was playing the Huntress, her show just got canceled. So bring her back as the villain next season.
That'd be, or a anti-villain or anti-hero. I would like to see Jessica Jigao as an anti-hero. That would be awesome.
Sure. Shack up with Vigilante. That works.
Well, and in the comics in the Birds of Prey, Huntress is a reluctant party to it right now. So yeah, I think that could work. All right, let's rate the season. I think we talked a lot about it, so let's just go down the list here. Chris, 1 to 10, what do you got?
I'll give it an 8.
8. Steven?
I will give you two answers. One is my joking answer, and one is my serious. My serious answer is an 8. I agree with Chris on that. I had 8. And my joking answer is 15 because they brought in Michael Dorn. Like, come on. How do you not get bonus points for Michael Dorn?
They brought in Michael Dorn's voice.
Still, it's if it was on screen, it would be like a 50.
It's fair enough. Michelle, 1 to 10, what do you got?
Oh, my goodness. I like the flashbacks. Great action. Great villain. Awful Felicity, awful gun episode. 7.5.
All right. Wing.
If Flash was a 7 and that the Legion TV show was a 10, I'm going to give this an 8.5.
No, Flash was a 4. That's what I said. It was a 4.
Yeah, but I'm going with what I say because your opinion has no matter to me. but yeah, I'm going to give this an 8.5. That was a good season. I was surprised every week that I wanted to see more Arrow than Flash every week. So they got me there. I think they got that. They tightened the season in a way where I was always engaged, and the fact that they lost some threads, I know it bugs some of you, but for me it makes more comic, because you never assume comics are going to stop, so you keep introducing stuff, and that's how life works. Life doesn't always introduce a villain in September that you beat in May. The Flash has had a really good timeline where they talk about it on the show, too. So the fact that other villains are introduced while you're like, okay, no, I need to deal with this, then I'll be able to deal with that. Loved it. So, yeah, a solid, solid 8.5 for Arrow Season 5. And by the way, it's Star City. Who got the idea of calling this show the Starling Tribune?
That would be you. Wing, of course, was the person that started this podcast. So I've got three reasons for my rating, and it is simply no plane crash, no mama smoke, no mama Lance. So I'll rate it a 3.
What?
Liar. Liar.
Liar.
poker face.
It was
but when you add my 50 out of 10, then, you know, it kind of evens out.
So somewhere between a 7 and an 8. I think it's closer to 7 to me than an 8. But that's just because I'm being way too critical of this. If I was just watching it for fun, it'd probably be closer to a 9. So there you go. We've already given our predictions of who's going to die, who's going to live. But are there any other predictions for the 6th and possibly final season of Arrow? Chris, what do you got?
Stephen Amell will take his shirt off.
It's a good one.
You know what? I would put money on that.
All right. So we have some Canadian quarters on the table right now, which equals not even a lollipop. Stephen, what is your predictions for next year?
I think we're going to start off with Black Siren doing something to have saved the group, thus a bit of a redemption as well. I believe that the flashbacks themselves are going to reappear about a third into the season when they see that people are missing them. And I don't know what we're going to go with. Maybe other characters. I don't know. I think they've said they're not going to do it, but I think that they're going to see that it's a missing component and they're going to bring it back.
Michelle.
See, I have Samantha dying, so Ollie becomes determined to redeem Black Siren while trying to be mayor and a dad. And I want Roy and Huntress to come back.
That would not be a bad thing. Wing, what do you see for season 6 of Arrow?
Well, of course, there's going to be the kind of pilot like they did with The Flash for Titan. So we're going to get these characters back, Michelle. Don't worry about that. We need to see them somewhere. Honestly, I think I'm just going to comment on what Stephen said about flashback. I think we're still going to get flashback, but once in a while, like they did for Wild Dog, like they did for the original Black Canary and all that. When they have a new character, they usually give you one episode of flashback with them. I think we're going to have that a little bit. The other thing, I don't know where they're going to go, but what I'm hoping, and I am not an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, but the way they took their season this year and made mini arc, I'm kind of hoping we're going to get there with Arrow. Now that the 5 years is over, I would prefer having a little arc with different villain that wraps up with maybe a little thread, but not having a villain that is introduced in September and is arrested in May. So that's where I'm going. But you know what? They got this down. Just keep going, guys.
All right. So my predictions for next season is that we are going to get a true four show crossover in the first weekend in December. So that is our coverage of the 2016-2017 Arrow, Supergirl, and The Flash. So I hope you enjoyed it. But next time we have another special episode, do we not, Michelle?
Yes, this Sunday we are going to be discussing the Wonder Woman movie that comes out on Friday.
It's so good.
Actually, it's out in theaters right now as we're podcasting. It's out right now.
Right meow.
Just go.
So, yes. And then our next regular episode will be next Thursday. We will continue our rewatch of Legends of Tomorrow, Season 2, Episode 8, The Chicago Way. So if you've enjoyed having people on this cast like Steven and Wing, they are part of the GunnaGeek.com network. And Chris, there is a lot of fun, geeky stuff on the network, isn't there?
Yeah, just like SP was saying, there's a variety of awesome geeky content on the Gunna Geek Network. We encourage you guys, head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com or GunnaGeek.com and check it out for yourself. But each week when we podcast, we try to highlight one specific show, give you a little taste about what it's about, and point you towards it. And this week we want to talk to you about episode 41 of the Doom Ninja podcast entitled The End. This week, the crew starts off with some strange news about buying empty boxes. It's followed by their opinions on 2D pixel RPG Undertale. Finally, it's wrapped up with a studio update that includes some somber news.
Can I say this is one of the best that we recruited on the network recently? I'm having so much fun with this cast.
Wait till you hear some of the next stuff that's coming in for the next generation. And oh, by the way, Wing, thank you. You are the founder of this podcast. Thank you very much for coming back to recap this season and the season of The Flash and to talk about your opinions about Supergirl. We really appreciated your presence back here in the Starling Tribune.
Actually, he says that, but thank you for getting me because I basically begged to be here. So thank you very, very much.
He was down on his knees, folks, but no, we welcomed him back.
I really wanted to talk about this episode, and I'm really happy to see where you brought the show, because if you want, guys want some inside baseball, basically I start shows, I drop them, SP takes them and bring them back up super well, and then I can just come back and screw it up for one evening. So thank you, SP, for keeping them going.
There are a couple of special wing edit points for tonight, but if the editors have done their jobs, you will tend to notice them.
I saw only one. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Actually, you had two, but we'll leave that alone. Steven, you are the owner of the GunnaGeek.com network, my fair co-host on the GunnaGeek.com show and the Better Podcasting show. I want to thank you very much for gracing us with your presence and with your incredible insights tonight.
Thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun. Usually I'm only able to do this while I'm on the road because I should be taking my son to swim lessons, but hey, neglecting your kids, that's where it's at.
Can we make t-shirts with the Gunna Geek logo that says that?
I want one. I so want one. Give money to the Steven. Father relief.
Father of the year, Steven Amell, as long with Steven John Drew. Chris, let's start this train rolling downhill.
Yeah, I guess we should do that. So thank you everyone who did participate live in the chat room over on Geeks.live. Also a big thank you to anyone who downloads the episodes or replays the videos at a later date. Don't forget, you can find all of our back catalog of shows over at starlingtribune.com. And the back catalog of the YouTube videos is available on the Gunna Geek YouTube channel at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard, and if you've been here live like Amos and Mike and Dane, you can tell everybody that's your favorite Arrow fan that we are live on the network, at least until we move our show later this fall, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern on Geeks.live. And don't forget to go ahead and rate, review, and subscribe. Even give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And I just want to say thank you to our entire production staff, including our video editor, Mr. Chris.
And you can give us a 15 because we talk about Michael Dorn. So come on.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. We can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Gentlemen, this was a great episode, and unfortunately, we do have to bring it to an end, so this wraps it up. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Anna Hopkins is Stephen Amell's baby mama.
Okay. At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag they brought back sleeves.
At Steven John Drew.
Hashtag no Laurel, no Feral.
At Nightwing underscore GG.
Hashtag Titan.
Please.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag if Felicity dead, that's okay. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.